Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowd. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and more grain than the weeds appeared as well, and the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat. In the time of Jesus, there was a law on the Roman books that dealt with the crime of sowing weeds in the wheat field of another person. It was a particularly nasty and effective bit of revenge or sabotage against someone who was your enemy, because the weed that they would sow, called darnel, was a particularly nasty weed. It's a grass in the rye family, and it looks quite a lot like wheat. Grows up in the midst of the wheat crop, and its roots get all entwined with the roots of the wheat, as roots do. And then it produces a head of grain, and it looks a lot like the grains of wheat, with one big difference. The grains of the darnel are poisonous. If the farmer would pull up the young weeds in the field when he first saw the darnel growing there in his wheat, the wheat plant would be torn up along with the darnel, and the whole crop would be lost. But if the darnel and the wheat grew up together and grain had ripened and the farmer went out and cut and threshed the grain, the crop would be worse than lost. It would be harmful or poisonous. The only other solution for the victim of this crime, as Jesus points out in his story, would be to let the wheat and the darnel grow up side by side, and then at harvest time, to carefully and painstakingly separate the stalks of wheat from the stalks of darnel. Then the wheat could be threshed and gathered into the storehouses, and the darnel could be destroyed by fire, so it wouldn't cause any more trouble. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, may be compared to this whole sequence of events, beginning with the master going out into his field and sowing good seed. Jesus takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where God creates the light and the sky and the land and the trees and birds and fish and elephants and ladybugs and that most complex of all creatures, mankind. And it was all good. Man was a good creation, male and female, designed in the image of God to watch over the rest of creation as God's ordained caretakers. And it was all very good. And then it all went horribly wrong. In the parable, under cover of darkness while everybody was asleep, an enemy crept into the field and sowed bad seed in with the good. And that, Jesus says, is the state of things in the kingdom right about now. The good creation has been sown with all kinds of useless and poisonous stuff. Hatred and jealousy and lust and greed and selfishness and violence and pride. And the thing is, it's not all neat and tidy so we can rip it out easily, because the roots of all that bad seed are deeply and tightly intertwined with our very selves, with our fears and our insecurities and our need for love and our loneliness and our hurts and our pain and our deepest desires, all mixed up together. In the parable, the workers go to the master all upset when they see the weeds in the field, and they want to do something about it right away. Just give us the word and we'll go out and we'll rip every single weed out by the roots, they say. And the master answers them, no. If you go out there now and you rip out those weeds, you'll end up tearing up the wheat as well. No, let them both grow together until the time for harvest comes. Now that human impulse that we all have to run out there and rip up weeds, you're a gardener, you know that feeling, especially the other guy's weeds, that is called judgment. And the biblical teaching on people judging people is fairly clear. Don't do it. Judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus said. Why is it that when you see the speck in your brother's eye, you don't even notice that there is a huge log in your own eye? Or to put it in terms of this parable, why are you so eager to go out there and rip up the other guy's weeds when all the time you don't even notice you're being strangled by a thicket of weeds yourself? Paul wrote, we will all have to give an account of ourselves to God, so let not pass judgment on anyone anymore. But rather, let's decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. And James put it very simply, mercy triumphs over judgment. As the master in the parable said, let the plants grow until the harvest time comes. The true state of things, as it stands now today, July 19th, 2020, is that we live in a really weak world. Right now, we're living through probably the worst crisis of our generation. Over 500,000 people have died so far in the pandemic with no end in sight. Millions of people have lost jobs, children can't go to school, special needs children especially have lost services that are crucial to their well-being. Parents are left feeling frustrated, helpless, and angry. Domestic abuse and depression are on the rise because people are isolated and afraid and anxious, and on top of all that, racial tensions are at an all-time high. And the human reaction to all of this trouble is to find somebody to blame. The political landscape right now is a bloody battlefield of accusations and finger-pointing and condemnation. When we see evil in the world, we, human beings, all of us, blame. We divide into our camps, left against right, liberal against conservative, white against black, Christian against Muslim, Americans against everybody else. We want to know who the weak is, and we want to know who the dharma is, and we are pretty sure that we know which is which. But hear what the master said when his servants came and cut hold of him, and his crop had been sabotaged. An enemy has done this, he said. In the midst of this battle that we are living through, we have all too often forgotten who the enemy is. Paul famously told us all about putting on the whole armor of God against evil in the world, but he warned us, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. It is the enemy who is the spoiler of this kingdom, and that enemy is not your neighbor. Our enemy is hatred and selfishness and greed and racism and violence and fear and lust for power. I have no idea whether any real live first century farmer ever went to the effort that it would have taken to rescue his crop when the field had been sabotaged, separating thousands and thousands of plants stalk by stalk, but I don't think so. It is pretty much unthinkable that any real farmer would have had the time or the manpower to go to all that trouble. It's much more likely that his enemies actively then would have been completely successful in ruining his crop for the year, which is why it was against the law. But that makes it all the more striking when Jesus describes the work of the angels at the final harvest of the world, that they will painstakingly gather out of the kingdom of God every obstacle, every cause of sin, everything that works against his law and his good people. Then it will be like Jesus said when he told his disciples to gather up the baskets of fragments after he fed the 5,000. Nothing will be lost. No one will be lost. Then we will all shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, Jesus said. Then we'll be like little kids after a good bath, scrubbed and brushed and dressed in our spotless and happy vest. Then we will be perfect, as our Father is perfect. But for the time being, we need to be aware that the enemy is busier than ever right now, sowing his seeds in this world. And we need to know that the enemy is not the Democrats or the Republicans or the Russians or the Chinese or black people or white people or any other child of God in this world. The seeds of the enemy are growing, and the seeds of the enemy, just like Donald, are clever and they are poisonous. And they're all about one thing. They're all about spoiling what God has planted in his kingdom. The enemy's seeds are all about dividing God's children from one another. They're all about making us afraid of each other. They're all about causing us not to trust each other. They're all about choking out love. So today, let us resist all condemnation, all divisiveness, all suspicion, all the ways that we attack one another and accuse one another and separate ourselves from one another. Let us keep separate from everything that tears apart the roots of our common humanity and of our unity in Christ. Love one another, our Lord commanded us. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. Because it is by this, by our love for one another, that all people will know that we are his disciples.